Thank you. This God who does do marvelous things, the Lord of all creation, is here with us this morning. And he greets us in these words, grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome to Sunday morning worship here at LaGrave Avenue Christian Reformed Church. We're glad that you're all with us, whether you're physically present here in the sanctuary or worshiping with us online. We're glad you're here. Especially if you're new or visiting among us today, we hope that you'll stay around for a little while and get to know a few of us after the service. All are welcome to coffee and fellowship in the multipurpose room right after this service. That's straight down the hallway and then to your right. But if you're an elder deacon District 7, you are invited to a special coffee and fellowship, and that will be in the parlor, straight down the hallway, and then to your left. There will also be a prayer time this morning for global concerns right after this worship service. That will be upstairs in room 200. Please turn in your bulletin now to the responsive reading of the call to confession, and note that it will continue after the prayer of confession with the assurance of forgiveness. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. The mystery of God is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Help us, Lord. We call out to you for true wisdom. We hear so many voices all around us from all kinds of media, supposedly offering wisdom, but a wisdom unconnected to you, not true wisdom at all. Forgive us, Lord, for giving attention to these voices and not paying that much attention to you. Thank you that by your grace you have placed us in Christ Jesus, in whom are truly hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and through whom we receive forgiveness of sin. As we navigate this path of life with so many voices calling out, grant us the discernment to recognize your voice and to follow that voice by the work of your Holy Spirit in us. In Jesus' name, amen. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Thanks be to God. We received news this morning that Roger Camper passed away this past Friday, June 5. He was a brother to Marv Camper, Becky Camper, and Andy and Karen Camper, uncle to Rachel Ryan Brandt. So we want to remember this family as they grieve the loss of a dear brother. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God and King, we come to you with thanksgiving and praise for all the works of your hands. We thank you for your faithfulness in bringing summer and winter, springtime and harvest. We might feel more thankful this time of year as we're entering summer, which gives us more opportunity to enjoy the natural beauty and life around us. And we thank you for new human life, especially the birth of Catherine Marie to the Vineyardens, and for bringing Joni Scott, Arlo Venezia, and Grace Sutherland into our church family through baptism last Sunday. We also give thanks with Warren Hahn as he celebrates his 93rd birthday this week. As many will be getting out in nature and taking vacations these months, we pray for safety and health. Help us to take more time than usual with you, going deeper in our personal relationship with you, perhaps practicing spiritual disciplines that we have set aside or have never even tried. So we pray that you will renew us physically, mentally, and spiritually. May these be times of appreciation for your gifts in nature and also for appreciating one another, renewing our marriages, families, extended families, and friendships. And time for sharing you with people around us in our neighborhoods, workplaces, and vacation spots. We pray, Lord, for those of our people who can hardly get out and enjoy the good weather because they are homebound or battling health challenges. May they still experience your blessing and presence. So we pray for those in hospice, those fighting cancer, and others with continuing needs. We pray especially for healing for Ed Hooksema, who is home after pacemaker installation, and for Mary Lou Reifer and Joy Winkle, who are recovering from surgeries. And we remember the family of Roger Camper, Lord. We pray that you will give them your comfort and peace in spite of this loss. Encourage their hearts, we pray. Lord, we pray that you'll also be with Blake and Tim, serving in the military. Constantly watch over them, we pray, Lord. And we pray for fruitful teaching ministry and safe travel for Matt Bonzo in Southern Africa. We commit to you Thomas and Dana for their mission work in India. The children they work with have experienced a lot of darkness. Through Thomas and Dana and their workers, shine the light of your love and grace upon these kids, we pray. We also pray, Lord, for those who struggle financially, those within our church, as well as others around us, especially right here in the downtown area. Grant your provisions to meet their needs, Lord, and use us as channels of your blessing. We pray for our denomination's annual synod meeting, which begins this coming Thursday. Grant safety for all those traveling for that. We pray for the moving of your spirit at synod, binding all delegates and attendees in love and grace. We pray for listening ears and hearts, and that you will guide the deliberations toward wise plans and decisions. We pray for our nation, Lord. As we enter another election season, we pray that you will work through this process to bring people of true wisdom, skill, and integrity to office. Meanwhile, we pray that you will be with all our current government leaders on local, state, and national levels to work for what is just and right and beneficial for all. Lord, we commit to you our troubled world. We are continually disturbed by the senseless killing of people in ongoing conflicts in Sudan, Gaza, Israel, Lebanon, Iran, and the Persian Gulf, and by the Ebola epidemic in Africa. Lord, we pray for resolution of these conflicts and for cooperation in dealing with diseases and other calamities. Help our nation be influential for peace, justice, and human flourishing. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, to bring the fullness of your kingdom, and meanwhile, make us your faithful kingdom agents in this world. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Lord, my weak thought in vain would climb to search the starry vault profound. In vain would wing her flight sublime. Utmost bound. But weaker yet, that thought must prove to search thy grave. Sovereign counsels born of love, long ages ere the world began. Disturb my troubled breast, and all is dark as night to me. Here as on solid rock I so it seemeth good to me. Be this my joy that sovereign wisdom I adore.
All right, children, it's time for the children's message. Come on down. I see you poised. All right. Hello, 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 hello. Oh, there you are. It's hard to see you in the pews, submerged beneath all these adults, but here you are coming up. It's so good to see all of you. Come on down, everyone. Oh, we're carrying sisters. Nope. Okay. So, wisdom, that's what we're talking about this summer. That's what I'm going to preach about today and a lot of other days, little bits of wisdom. And today, when I was thinking about wisdom, I thought about a story about someone named Queen Wilhelmina. You ever heard of Queen Wilhelmina? No? Well, you should. She got a peppermint named after her. Have you ever had a Wilhelmina peppermint? Oh, you should go home. I bet you some of these adults have. Go home and ask your parents for a Wilhelmina peppermint. They'll hook you up. Maybe. Okay, but that's not about peppermints. Queen Wilhelmina was a queen quite a long time ago, and she was queen of the Netherlands, which is a country far away across the ocean. And years ago, she decided she was going to leave the Netherlands and come and make a visit to the United States. And the reason she was going to do that was because there was a lot of people who came from the Netherlands who had moved to the United States, and she wanted to visit them to say hi because they used to live in her country. And some of the people she visited lived in Iowa, and they were Frisian farmers. So Friesland is a province in the Netherlands, part of the Netherlands, and these were Frisian farmers. So she was going to go visit them and say hi. And so they had a very special meal. Now, you can imagine, when a queen comes for a dinner, do you think that dinner was like McDonald's or was it fancy? Fancy. Oh, it was super fancy. Super fancy. Okay, so like table with a cloth tablecloth. And napkins were not made of paper. Yeah. They were made of cloth, definitely made of cloth. And you didn't just have one fork beside your plate. You had three forks beside your plate. And there were, I know, some of you are like, three forks? Why do you need three forks? That's what they do at fancy meals, okay? And they had candles, and it was just beautiful. It was just beautiful. Now, the Frisians, you maybe have been to a meal like that. Have you been to a meal like that? Like something fancy like that? Some of you maybe. The Frisian farmers had never been to a meal like that. So they were not sure what to do. So one of the things on the table was a little bowl about this big and had water in it. And what that was for is called a finger bowl. So you know how when you eat, sometimes your fingers get sticky? You could stick your fingers in that bowl and wash them, and they wouldn't be sticky anymore, which is kind of nice. Frisian farmers had never seen a finger bowl, so guess what they did with the water? They saw this bowl of water. They picked it up, and they drank it. And the fancy people around the table looked at the Frisian farmers and said, "Look at those guys. They don't even know what a finger bowl is." Okay? They didn't say it out loud. The Frisian farmers didn't realize they'd made a mistake. But Queen Wilhelmina could see that the fancy people were laughing at the Frisian farmers. And then Queen Wilhelmina did something very wise. She didn't want that meal to be bad, so she didn't want the Frisian farmers to be embarrassed. She didn't like it that people were laughing. Guess what she did? She picked up her own finger bowl and she drank it. And when all the fancy people saw that she did that, guess what they did? They picked up their finger bowl and they drank it. She saved the party. That was a kind thing to do, right? And it was also very wise. Congregation, what is our prayer for these children? Go in peace. Before we open God's word, we're going to sing our hymn of preparation, which is also a prayer of preparation, which is found in your bulletin. We'll sing this song every week. And before we sing it, Larry wants me to tell you that you're doing it wrong. Larry wrote the music for this, as you know, and he wants to draw your attention to the very end of the song. See the word "and" hearts? That word "and," it's not one step down from the last note. It is two steps down from the last notes. Consider yourself warned. Let's prepare our hearts by singing this song. Book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs is, of course, the quintessential wisdom book of the Old Testament. So Proverbs chapter 8, I'll read verses 1 through 6, and then verses 22 through, I think it's 36. And before I read it, you will notice that in this passage, what you will hear is that wisdom will be talking to you. Wisdom is personified. Wisdom is not just a set of principles or ideas. In this passage, it's like wisdom has become a person. It's a poetic device, and this person is calling out to you. Wisdom is saying, follow me, learn my ways, and you will find life. And as you listen to that, as you listen to wisdom's personal appeal, when you get to 22 to 31, I want you to notice that when wisdom is making this appeal, wisdom clearly has in mind a Bible passage. So you'll hear a Bible passage, another scripture passage that I think you all know, most of you, that's behind it, okay? All right, let's read it together. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. To you, all people, I call out. I raise my voice to mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. Now let's jump down to 22. And here's where I want you to listen for another Bible passage. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundaries so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, and I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. So now then, children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Don't disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. And all who hate me love death. This is the word of the Lord. So I think that was a pretty easy question, if you know a little bit of Bible. What Bible story did you hear behind verses 22 through 31? Genesis 1, right? It's the creation story. When wisdom describes who she is, she's following the sort of the pattern of the creation story. At the beginning of her description, she talks about she was there when, before the world was formed, when there were no watery depths and the mountains were not in place. That's like at the beginning of Genesis 1 when the earth is formless and void. And then starting at verse 27, it says that she was there when God started to create order, right? When he drew the horizon line and put the foundations in place and put in a boundary for the sea and raised up the mountains. When God created structure and order, right? That was the next part of creation. And then at the end, she says, I was delighting the whole time. I was delighting in all that he had made. That reflects the end of the creation story, right? Where God looks at everything he sees and he says, oh, it's really good. It's really good. Okay? Delight. So Proverbs 8, wisdom is making her appeal and she's attaching it to the creation story. And that is done on purpose. Wisdom is communicating to us, the Holy Spirit is communicating to us through this poetic device that she is built into the fabric of creation. Wisdom is not a human creation. Wisdom is not a social contract. Wisdom is not something fashioned by cultures. Wisdom is something that is built by God from the very beginning into the way the world is laid out. Wisdom is the boundaries and the limits of God's creation. If you notice, when wisdom describes what God did in creation, the emphasis is on boundaries and limits. I drew the horizon line, right? I told the sea where to go. The Lord told the sea where to go and wouldn't let it go further. So wisdom is describing how in the physical world, God created all these boundaries and all these structures. The implication is that just like there's a boundary for the physical world, so there is for all the other parts of our life too. There are limits and boundaries. There are paths and patterns that have been built in at creation, and wisdom is learning to find them. There are boundaries for our relationships, for our speech, for our emotional life, for the way we do our work, for the way we conduct our families. All of these things, all of these patterns have been laid at the foundation of creation, and wisdom is finding these paths and finding these patterns. That's what we're going to be doing all summer, finding these paths and finding these patterns. Now, for some parts of life, it's relatively easy for us to accept these paths and patterns that God has created. So, for example, for our physical life, right? We all know that there are limits to our physical life, right? We can't eat candy all the time. Sometimes you got to eat your vegetables. And you can't sit on the couch all day long, day after day. You got to get out and get some exercise. And you can't stay up all night partying and whatever else. You got to get some sleep. Those are basic physical boundaries, and we all recognize them. We don't always observe them, right? We don't always eat our vegetables, but even when we don't eat our vegetables, we know that we should, right? We know the boundary is there, the limit, the path, the pattern. So in the physical realm, we accept those things. Where it gets tricky is in the realm of our wants and our desires and our passions and our goals. There we have a harder time. In one of his poems, Robert Frost said these famous words, "Something there is that does not love a wall, that wants it down." That's us. In The Abolition of Man, C.S. Lewis sort of elaborated on that when he said this about wisdom and how human beings have approached it through the years. He said this, "For the wise men of old, so in the old days, the cardinal problem had been how to conform the soul to reality. And the solution had been knowledge, self-discipline, and virtue. So the traditional way of doing things is you look out there, you find the patterns, and then you conform your soul to that. You conform your life to what's out there." But then Lewis says this, "For modern people, the problem has become how to subdue reality to the wishes that are in your heart." All right? You see the pattern there. It used to be I look for the patterns and the paths out there, and I try to conform my life to it. That's wisdom. But now, increasingly, it's, what are the limits out there? Okay, if there's limits out there, how do I push aside those limits so that I can fulfill what's in my heart? So in our world, it's not just wisdom crying out in the street, trying to show you a path and show you a way. There are other voices crying out in the street. Wisdom is crying out, learn these creational patterns and you will live. But there are other voices saying, follow me and I will knock down all the barriers and I will give you your heart's desire. One of the strongest voices offering that to us these days is technology. Technology, not a bad thing in and of itself, but as it increases in power, I think you will all agree what it is offering to many of us is you have the power to absolutely bend reality and to shape this world into the shape that you want. I will take away all the friction. I will take away all the problems and make a clear path for you. Let's look at just one way where that's true, relationships. So, in this book, as we continue looking at Proverbs all summer, we'll find out that a lot of these Proverbs are about relationships, how we relate to one another, really important. And when you think about it, when we relate to one another, what are we doing? We're looking for creational patterns, right? It's like wisdom in miniature. So if I'm encountering you and you're encountering me, say we're starting a job together and we're going to be colleagues. I'm going to spend a lot of time paying attention to how God made you. What patterns did he put in you? How do you react to conflict? What are your emotional responses? What are your passions? What things set you off? What are you good at? What are you not good at? I'm going to be paying a ton of attention to that and trying to conform my life to that, and hopefully you'll be doing the same to me. And if we both do that, we will have a fruitful relationship. We will walk the path of wisdom together. Okay? And that could be hard work, right? If you do that in marriage or in work, you're going to bump into each other once in a while. There's going to be conflict. But that conflicts, when you have those conflicts, what you're learning is you're learning the boundaries. And if you adjust, eventually the friction will ease and you'll find your way forward, right? That's the path of wisdom. And the friction is important. The friction is important. The friction is how you learn each other. You can't have love. You can't have relationship, real relationship, without some of this bumping into each other and friction. It's part of the process. Technology promises something very different. It says, I will give you a frictionless experience. I will take away all the... People are a pain. I will make it so you don't have to deal with them very much. Here's one little example. And I'm going to talk to all of you here under 25. Sorry. Okay? And I know this is not true of all of you, but broadly speaking, for your generation, this is true. And maybe you know this. A lot of people in Gen Z who are under 25 hate calling a live person on the phone and talking to them. Right? This is a thing. This is a thing. And not everyone, but by and large, this is more true. Why is that? Because you've grown up in a generation where you don't have to. You can text. You can email. There are all kinds of ways that you can communicate without a phone call. And a phone call has more friction. It's not even face-to-face, but it has more friction because you have the politeness of opening the phone call, and then you have to negotiate whatever happens in the phone call, the moods of the person, however they are, and then you have to negotiate the ending of a phone call, which can be a very tricky thing. So all that friction. But you could just send a text, man. When you make that choice, and I text too, don't get me wrong, but when you consistently make that choice while you lose the friction, Well, you lose the friction, you're also learning, losing the connection. You give up the conflict, but you're also giving up the relationship. You're not choosing the path of wisdom. And tech, this is what technology does, and this is only increasing, right? Nowadays, and maybe you've called some of people you hear, maybe have your voicemail set up this way. You can call a person, and there's an AI voice that will, like, administer your call and will screen you. So you can have AI screen your calls. You can have it all go to voicemail. You can have AI look at your voicemail and summarize what the request was. And then you can have AI send an email in response to that or a text in response to that. You don't have to deal with a person at all. Technology promises to take all the messiness out of human interaction. I heard a philosopher this week, a guy named Joe Vukov, Christian philosopher, who said the exchanges between a real and rooted life and a simulated life. And a really easy picture of that is a real and rooted life, like actually being with people, talking with them in a room, or actually going out in nature and experiencing them, versus being on your phone and watching other people's relationships. Rooted life, simulated life. Now, tech does not do this all the time. I am not anti-tech, all right? We have to have some technology in our life. If you seek out the path of wisdom and the patterns of wisdom, if you find God's paths and patterns and then use technology to help you down those paths, that's okay, but increasingly, that's not what's happening in our world. Analogous to this, and another way to think of it and why it's destructive and why the path of wisdom is better, is to think about the way you think about freedom. So a lot of people in our world today, too, when they think about freedom as a freedom from boundaries, right? No rules, no boundaries. You can do whatever you want. Create yourself, whatever. That's not Christian freedom. That's not biblical freedom. Christian freedom, biblical freedom, is bounded freedom. It's like learning to play the piano. So you could learn to play the piano. You could play the piano and say, I'm going to play the piano in complete freedom. I'm not going to let anyone tell me what to do. I'm going to make whatever noise I want to make on this piano. You could play that way. It wouldn't be very pleasant for other people. It won't be that enjoyable for you. But what if you embrace the friction of learning to play the piano? What if you learn just the limitations and the powers of this instrument? It's this specific instrument, the sounds it can make. You learn the scales and the chords and the arpeggios. You learn key signatures. You learn to do this amazing thing. You so discipline yourself to the realities of this instrument that you can get to a point where you can take these abstract markings on a page and have them just come out in music. You don't have to think about it. You've so internalized the limitations and the ways of this instrument that you can just play it. That's a different kind of freedom. And I think you will agree a much better kind of freedom for you and for the world. That's wisdom in miniature. What wisdom is offering to us essentially is, I want to help you sight read life. I want to help you go out into the world and just have a deep sense of God's patterns and God's paths so that you can naturally walk in ways of flourishing. Now, this sounds really hard, and it is really hard, and it takes a lifetime to do it, and none of us do it perfectly. But what I need to tell you, and this is so important, is that you do not do it alone. God is so interested that you answer wisdom's call that when we fail to answer wisdom's call, God sent wisdom to help us. So there are lots of Old Testament passages that sound a little bit like this one, where wisdom is calling out to us and making an appeal, say, follow my ways. One of those passages is in an apocryphal book named Ben Sirach, which probably most of you have never heard of, but it's one of the apocryphal books. And there's this really interesting passage, which is an appeal from wisdom. Listen to this passage and see if it reminds you of something else, another passage in the New Testament. Here's Ben Sirach, hundreds of years before Jesus. Turn unto me, you who are untaught. Why do you say you are lacking in these things, and why are your souls so thirsty? I say to you, find wisdom. Put your necks under its yoke and bear its burden. If you are intent, you can find wisdom. See with your eyes that I have labored for it, and I have found for my soul much rest. Do you hear the echo? Because in the New Testament, something very similar to that was said by Jesus Christ, only Jesus didn't talk about wisdom, he talked about himself. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus, in so saying, names himself as the embodiment of wisdom. Jesus is wisdom in the flesh. It confirms what Paul says later. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. It's something Paul says repeatedly. Jesus sees us struggling to find the paths, struggling to find the patterns. And so he comes and he walks alongside of us. And more than that, he puts his life in us. He puts his Holy Spirit in us. Jesus created these patterns. Jesus knows these ways. He puts his Spirit in us so that as we look for these patterns, Jesus is working with us to find our way in this world, and he will make sure that we get home. Jesus is wisdom in the flesh. Not a system to learn out there, but a person who is in front of us, behind us, and by his Spirit in us. So this morning when I read Psalm 8, it wasn't just a poetic device reaching out to you and say, hey, find wisdom. It was Jesus saying, I want to show you the path. Take my hand. If I were you, I'd take him up on his offer. Amen. Lord, you know how much we want to find the path of life. I mean, every day we get up in the morning and we're trying to figure it out. Forgive us when we try to do this on our own, without listening to all the things that you've taught us, without looking for your paths if you've revealed them in Scripture, without listening to the voice of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. Lord, this morning, fill us again with your Spirit. Open our eyes and our hearts so that we may discern your ways and live a flourishing life in your world. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. As you go from this place and look for the paths of the Lord, know that you go with his presence and his blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.